This is Loaded Radio.
Good Tuesday evening to you. Matt Jolly here with you for Warbird Radio Live for the 22nd of May, 2018. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. Chris Henry is here with us to talk about several things, but they're all B-17s, but most importantly, the restoration of the former Miss Liberty Bell. And I think you'll find this story quite interesting. Chris and his good friend Rob Morelli, they started a group called the Warbird Rescue. And they actually took care of this airplane down at Grissom, at the museum there near Grissom Air Guard Base there in, did I get that right? Is it Air Guard Base? Anyway, the Grissom Base there, just outside of the gates there, where there's a little museum, a nice little museum. But unfortunately, the B-17 was sitting outside. It was starting to show its fatigue from sitting out in the snow and the ice in the wintertime, and you can just imagine how that wreaks havoc on an airframe. And so Chris and Rob went out there, they took care of this thing, and now it has been moved inside. It's now down at the Museum of Aviation, and Ken Emery will be joining us later in the show to talk about the very, very involved and deep restoration that the former Miss Liberty Bell is currently undergoing. So great show tonight. Let's get right to it. Here is Chris Henry. Tell us about your recent trip down to the big museum there in Dayton, Ohio, with the unveiling of the Memphis Belle. How was it, Chris?
Oh, it was awesome. It was an incredible honor to get to play a part in it. Got to go down and do my presentation a few times, and that was also on the front end of the newly restored documentary. They restored the original 1943 documentary and updated that. And
wow.
Got to talk around the documentary. No pressure, you know. A couple minutes before I'm about to go out, Mary from the Air Force Museum says, "Hey, no pressure, but you know, the families of the crew of the Memphis Belle are here in the audience." So, you know, no pressure to get it right in front of those folks.
Right.
And among, you know, Harry Friedman and all those guys who are just legends in the B-17 world. So it was a really big honor to be there and be there for the curtain drop and everything. And the airplane looks just beautiful. I mean, the Air Force Museum should really be proud of the restoration they did. It's gorgeous.
You know, the first thing I saw, and I don't know if this was your experience or not with this, but I thought it was kind of interesting. The first thing that I saw anybody say about it was that they were disappointed the wheels were up. And I thought, now that seems like a really odd critique after an 11-year restoration. To sort of throw a stone at that. To me, it looks, you know, it looks really neat. I mean, I love the fact that you can get up underneath it, and from a lot of preservation
Absolutely.
Perspectives, that makes a lot of sense. So I think it's just I guess I've drank the Kool-Aid, though. I think it's a phenomenal exhibition.
Well, I think it was different, and sometimes it takes us a little bit to get used to different. And I wasn't sure when I heard it was going to be not on its wheels. You know, I was like, oh, man, I hope it looks all right. It, when you start getting artistic with a display, it could either be really amazing or sometimes not come off so great. But they should really be proud about how it's displayed. It looks amazing. And the reason it's displayed the way it is to show off more artifacts and tell more stories of the veterans who flew on B-17s in the war. But the way that it's dramatically posed in the hangar is awesome. And the way that it is, the first, you know, it's one of the first things, like when you come into the World War II gallery and you kind of look down the row, you can see it. I mean, it sticks out among everything else. It's really, really well done. And it's also still in a way that you can see all the details. You could take a look up in the bomb bay and see all the work they did on the restoration in the bomb bay. Like, all the equipment is in it. It's really something they should be proud of. It's a great display.
The Chris Henry seal of approval has been endorsed. That's awesome, Chris. When you talk about museum pieces and you talk about B-17s, you cannot go down that pathway without talking about the museum there at Grissom that you and Rob Morelli worked so hard on, trying to preserve the Miss Liberty Bell as it was known back then, that is today in the care of the Museum of Aviation and Warner Robins, where it is being restored to look like a B-17 that, no kidding, just came off the line. So right off the assembly line, here's a B-17. That's what they're going for. And as you know, the tide of the Memphis Belle is that the engines that they have restored for this particular B-17 that you intimately know very, very well and have a long history with, they are the engines from the Memphis Belle that it was on it down at Mud Island. I mean, that's a kind of an odd twist of fate there.
It is. Yeah, so the Memphis Belle got the last four completely brand new in the crate, right 1820s installed on it, and that's as a tribute to the ground crews who always worked so hard to keep the Belle flying. And the engines that were on the Belle at Mud Island that it gained when it went through its restoration in the 1980s, those are the engines that are now down with Warner Robins and those guys. And that's kind of wild, a little twist of fate that some stuff that has some contact with the Belle is now going down to Liberty Belle. And, and I know a little bit about how the guys in Memphis have to feel having the airplane moved from Memphis to Dayton, as it was having the airplane moved from Grissom to Warner Robins. Was, you know, you hate to see it go, but at the end of the day, you know that it's going to a good place. It's really going to do it right and do right by the airframe. And I hated to be part of the reason why that B-17 left Indiana, but at the same token, you know, at some point you have to say what's going to make it so that this airplane is going to be here in 100 years. And in our case out of Grissom, the airplane was sitting outside in the elements, and it certainly was not going to be here in 15 years, let alone 100. So
you and Rob Morelli started up with an organization called Warbird Rescue, and I think that that says it all. You went out there, you found this aircraft that needed some help. And, you know, Chris, I think you did an outstanding job helping that aircraft find a new home, and my hat's off to you, because without your work down there, there's no telling what the condition would be in. We're going to talk to Ken Emery here in a few minutes, who is the director of that museum, and I'm going to let Ken tell you the story and tell you just how that aircraft is doing, because I've just seen it, and I'm telling you, Chris, you're going to be really, really proud of it when you see it.
Well, I got to tell you a funny story. Ken sends me, and you did as well. You guys send me pictures in a email that says pictures of your old girlfriend. I'm never really sure when I can open those, if they're family friendly or not.
They work safe, yeah.
But they're all B-17 pictures. Yeah.
Well, something that they're doing with it that I think is kind of unique and that I have never seen before, and I'll get your take on this. Ken and his team have gone through, and you'll hear me talk about it in the interview that we did down there on my last visit. But they've actually painted the interior to look like unfinished aluminum, which was the way that it would have rolled off the assembly line. And you don't ever see that, you know. These things are always full of insulation and whatnot, or zinc chromate, but they're going simulate it looking just like it rolled off the assembly line down there with unfinished aluminum, which is unique.
That is fantastic. Oh, yeah. I mean, the only B-17 that I know of that is flying around like that is Sentimental Journey. And the Belle has just been restored with a bare aluminum interior. That's pretty rare. I mean, you have to be really know that you're not going to have to worry about some corrosion issues and things like that. Of course, the Belle won't, but so it'll be nice. It's neat to see it kind of, you know, coming back to some original source material that's, you know, that's how they were, and that's how it's going to be done. That's pretty cool. Kudos to going that extra step to getting the interior colors right and driving model makers everywhere nuts.
Yeah, no kidding, right? That's that's always the danger that you run in this business.
Yeah.
Well, look, I wanted to have you on and tell the backstory on this, because I think it's so important. What is your message to the folks that are listening right now that have a, you know, maybe there's a some old jet sitting down at the VFW hall? What do you want them to know? They drive by it every day. They gripe about how bad it looks. That's exactly where you were 6 years ago. You hated to see these things being abused. And so you did something about it, and now look where it's led.
Yeah, that's incredible. My advice is if you know, try to go out, reach out to the folks that have it, if it's a VFW or you know, whatever, and just ask if maybe you can help, but even if it's just by starting by cleaning it, by giving it a bath. If you want to get involved, see if you can get some friends together to go out. First off, I guarantee you're not going to hurt it any by giving it a bath. And, you know, if they're willing and you can work with them, you might even be able to get the thing cleaned up and painted. They might have some money for upkeep, but just have nobody that'll do it. And I guarantee you that it's something that you and your friends would never forget. They get to be a small part of this aircraft's history. You know, what it also does is whether or not they realize it or not, the news will pick up on this. If you're doing something like this to one of these aircraft, and you let the news know, a lot of times they're interested. They've seen it. They'll come out and do a story on it. And what you also find out is a lot of times you're able to honor a veteran who's still with us or deceased, whatever the reason for that memorial is in that town. And, you know, imagine how they feel where this war memorial that was placed there in honor of them or their family is suddenly now getting attention, getting cleaned up, getting young people interested in what they're doing. I think it's a win-win by getting involved in something like that.
Well, and the important thing is quit driving by it. Get up and do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Go out and try. And even if you don't get it, you know what I always told everybody is like go out and start by cleaning it. Just start by saying, hey, could we help come out and give it a bath? I mean, look at the guys out at what Preston's Pride
well,
in California
you're
doing.
Right. I was saving that for last, but you brought it up.
Yeah,
this has
exactly.
Been
but kudos
a banner
to them.
Year.
I mean, they just said, look, can we just clean this thing up? And they've gone a bit further, obviously, because that's a lot of work.
Well, they've actually polished the airframe.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, they've polished it with, I don't know what they polished it with, but they've gone through and given her a high shine. And you know, God bless him, Larry Kelly would say that's the biggest mistake you can make on an airplane after running Panchito for all these years. In fact, I just talked to Larry the other day. And I told him about, you know about the debacle that I've purchased, this bread truck that I've purchased that we're going to turn into the new live vehicle. And I said, Larry, it's bare aluminum. I'm going to polish it.
Oh,
and he goes, you know the best way to polish it, don't you? And I said, no, what? And he goes, with primer and paint.
I wish polished aluminum didn't look so good.
I'm telling you.
You know, and
well,
it would be easy
have
to
a,
cover it. You know,
you're going to have a really, really nice Grumman parked in your yard whenever whenever this thing breaks down in Oshkosh for 9 months. So just I hope your bride's ready. It'll be the new taco truck in the Henry house. So
I'll give her a heads up tonight.
All right. Hey, always good hearing your voice. I want to bring Ken Emery on here and talk to us a little bit. Any parting thoughts, though, Chris, before you have to get back to work there at EAA?
No, I'm just so proud of the fact that Ken and his team have picked up this B-17. I'm proud to have just been a small part in its history and, you know, maybe help kick the ball down the road a little bit to get somebody else that was able to get it indoors, get it into a good home. And that's what it's all about. I mean, it's about, you know, it means so much. You know, when they rolled the Memphis Belle out, they had a lot of veterans. There were a good bit of veterans there. And you could see on their faces what it meant to see the type of aircraft that they flew in getting the attention that it was getting. It meant the world to those guys. And it will right up to the last one is gone. There's no higher compliment we could pay these guys than to properly take care of their legacy. So, to get to be a small part of that, it's priceless.
Well said, Chris Henry. Thanks for stopping in tonight. And by the way, before in parting, before you leave, I just wanted to say that Andy Hines sends his apologies for not being available the night of the big dinner. So,
I know. We visited Dublin's Pub several times with him. So,
well, he sends his apologies.
And then one night I forgot him, and I'm still catching grief on that.
Well, he sends his apologies. All right. I'm sure Hartman does as well. Take care. Chris Henry, everybody, from the EAA.
Sounds good.
And the B-17 guy extraordinaire. Chris, thanks again for coming on.
Anytime. Thanks, Matt.
You're strapped in to Woodbird Radio. Cigar.
Welcome back to Warbird Radio Live. I want to get right into it now because Ken Emery spent a little bit of time with me on my last visit back to the Museum of Aviation down in Warner Robins, Georgia. If you don't know about this museum, put it on your to-do list. Go down there and check it out. I was blown away by the level of detail that Ken and his restoration crew are going to with this particular restoration. I'm telling you, the level of detail that Ken has gone into, down to the accessory packages on the back of the engine, painting the interiors. Well, you'll hear it all here. I don't want to ruin it. But here is Ken Emery, the director of the Museum of Aviation down in Warner Robins, talking about the former Miss Liberty Bell, their new B-17, that they are deeply restoring right now. I think you'll enjoy this. Here's Ken.
Well, Ken, it's been a while since I've been here, but I have to say, if there's one thing that stands out, it's the level of detail. I mean, we're right now underneath the C-47 that was hung back 10 years ago.
Yep.
When I was still living here, when we just started Warbird Radio. And over the years, you've been so generous to always sit down and do interviews. Back in the country, I had to come by here. And I'm telling you, I'm blown away by the details. We just got out of the Albatross, and there's a coffee pot where the coffee pot should be. So talk to me about this, because this has sort of been your baby to get the detail level up and the authenticity up.
Well, that's really the whole point of museums, is to preserve the history, in this case, airplanes. And if you don't preserve the details, you kind of miss part of the story. And I tell people, we're not doing this for 5 or 10 years. We're doing this for 100 years. I want people's great-grandchildren's grandchildren to come here to the museum and see these airplanes long after most all the rest are gone. And what are left are here today. So doing those details, making it right, we still have some of the expertise. We can find parts a bit hardly. Yeah, some are very hard to find, but at least we can find stuff later on. It's going to be very difficult to do that. And sometimes now we can talk to veterans, and they can show us, and we had that on the Albatross, one of the crew chiefs that used to fly in the airplane came by and says, I haven't seen one of these for 40 years since I got out of the Air Force. And he was able to point out stuff to us that we didn't even know about the airplane. And we see that with the B-17, the same thing. The veterans come by, and we learn a lot from them. And we take that back and take it to heart and say, you know, that's wrong. That, you know, this is the way it should have been. So we want it technically complete, and we also want it accurate.
I'm amazed at the B-17. You know, a number of years ago, Chris Henry, Rob Morelli, had a little show on our radio station called the Warbird Rescue Hour, and their pet project was taking care of this airplane in its former life at a museum in Indiana. And here it is today in a hangar, rescued. I want to say to Chris and Rob, job well done, because here it is. It's now in your care, and it looks incredible.
You're absolutely right. Rescue is exactly the right word. We brought it here. It looked pretty sad. We got on it, stripped all the paint off of it, got it down to bare metal, started
making
repairs. Now,
rewind just a little bit. You didn't just strip the paint. You took this to the depot, which
yes.
were just off Robins Air Force Base, where you have a C-5 depot. And
C-5, C-17s, C-130s, and F-15s are all overhauled here. So because we're an Air Force museum, and that's part of the Air Force Base, we partnered with our depot brethren, and they took each component down and chemically stripped it in their facilities, and we were able to remove all the paint without damaging the skin any more than. So we didn't want to sand it or blast it or something like that. We wanted to, you know, be as gentle on the skin as we could. And so that depaint facility, they had all the right equipment and took off those layers and layer of paint and took it all the way down to the bare metal.
Now, right now, you're working on getting the aircraft back to, as you said, factory finish, which is different than how the airplane arrived or what people might have seen. One of the things that I'm sure a lot of visitors are commenting on is the aluminum finish on the interior, which is, you know, we all know it, typically, well, just like the caribou, usually OD green. But in this case, that's not the story that's being told.
When it came out of the factory in May of 1945, they had long since quit painting interior and exterior of the airplane. So they were just bare metal all the way around. So we elected to try to recreate how it came out of the factory. So, but to take off some of the green paint that had been put on over the years and the interior was just a little too much labor intensive for us. So we elected to go back with aluminum paint and paint the interior aluminum, silver, if you will. And now the exterior will be a polished aluminum, original skin, not highly polished, just cleaned up enough that it's sort of factory fresh looking. Still has its dents and warts, but it's a clean finish. We replaced the de-icing boots with flat sheet rubber to simulate de-icer boots that have come out really nicely.
I got to tell you, not only do they look authentic, in my opinion, but from where we're standing here, I just can't tell the difference, Ken. If you hadn't said that little secret of the trade there, I wouldn't have known those weren't real.
Oops, sorry, I said that.
But something that is real that you need right now are accessory packs for these engines, starters, generators.
Yeah, the engines came to us. Actually, the engines that we have, ironically, the engines that were on, for some reason, all the accessories were removed, and amazingly enough, somebody put cement into the cases of each of the engines. So they were pretty much, we wanted to rebuild the engine so the propellers turned. But when I talked to the National Museum, Roger Deer up there, he says, well, I've got the engines from Memphis Belle that we're not going to use. We're putting zero-time engines on. He says, and Memphis Belle's engines turn. So we quickly went and got those engines, and that's really what we're rebuilding now. And the original engines that were on the airplane are basically totally unusable. We're canning parts off of them as much as we need to, but again, we're back. We need carburetors, starters, generators, all the accessories on the back of the engines, because basically there was nothing there. And again, our intent is to rebuild that engine to be technically complete. It may not be serviceable, but it's all there. And it's not just, it's for future generations, for people to study, for people to understand, when really many of the other examples won't be around anymore.
That's the best part of this job, is when you stop and think about this kind of stuff that you have in here. Another great example is the F-100. That's in the hangar over here. Your Vietnam hangar, Ken, it's incredible now.
When we built our new hangar, the World War II hangar, where the B-17, B-29 are, we specifically took all the World War II stuff out of our Hangar 1 and focused on Southeast Asia. So we got the F-4D, which is a twin MiG killer, F-105. We have a number of Southeast Asia airplanes in there that are actual combat veterans. And to cap it off, we finally finished the F-100D that flew combat in Southeast Asia and was there for 3 or 4 years, hundreds of combat hours. One of our local heroes, if you will, retired two-star General Rick Goddard, flew that airplane in combat. He flew about 250 missions, and he flew about 150 of his missions in that airplane and won the Silver Star in it.
I remember when General Goddard was down here turning wrenches on that airplane, trying to get it back in shape, and there it is today.
Yeah, he got his hands dirty. He helped our team, and I'll be honest with you, he has a much better appreciation as a pilot for maintenance people and what it takes to engineers and how the airplane was designed and built and worked and all the work that went into it just to keep it flying. So he had a much better appreciation for crew chiefs and maintenance folks than he ever did before after he got done working on his own airplane.
So what do you need right now? Let's go back through here. We know we need accessory cases for the B-17, but you have so many projects underway right now. You have the Albatross in the back let me tell you, that is worth its own story. The B-17 is worth, you have so many stories to do. I got to get back. I just have to come back.
Well, and the Albatross is a great one, too, because it flew rescue missions in Southeast Asia off Vietnam. We know it was in a number of different rescues. So that's pretty exciting. That's a story we still have to develop. We've got a B-57 here that flew combat in Southeast Asia here in the hangar.
That's the Canberra we saw around back.
Yep. The C-7 Caribou that's right here also flew combat in Southeast Asia. We just have a lot of veterans that actually did something. And that's the kind of quality of airplanes that we would like to be able to preserve. And in some cases, we try to trade up. An F-100 is a good example. We had a F-100C model here, which was what I call a vanilla airplane. But then we got this opportunity to get this combat veteran who just happens to be associated with our former commander here. And so we were much more interested in making sure we got that combat airplane and preserve it pretty much for literally hundreds of years. So we get
the other cool thing that's here. You're talking about General Goddard. It just tipped me off. You had a general's transport that just showed up. This A-26 that is, I mean, a lot of the working guys out there are going, well, I don't care about a general's airplane. But here's the cool thing about it for the A-26 buffs. This thing has the executive interior in the back like an Onmark conversion. I've never seen one like this that's this complete.
Well, this particular airplane flew with the Air National Guard, the Bureau of Air National Guard, in Washington, D.C. for like 20 years. So it flew out of Andrews all over the country, and it was highly polished. It was general officer transport. It flew until about 72 or 73 when it was retired to the Smithsonian. So it's been in storage at the Smithsonian since 72. And we got it last year. They accessed it out, and it's pretty much a complete airplane through and through.
By complete, I mean it's really complete, down to the ashtrays and the cigarette butts probably still sitting in there.
There was barf bags in there and all kinds of stuff. So, and we kept all that stuff. It's still in there. We have a lot of work to do on it. We'll probably do a polish it again and return it to kind of its guard configuration simply because it's been modified. It's hard to take it back to any kind of combat.
Well, and it's worth telling that story,
it is. It's a fun airplane, and it was really a. It's one of those. Again, we had A-26C, not in very good condition. We again traded up and got this VB-26, and it's a much better technical example for us, and so we're excited to have it.
Well, the work is underway. You can hear them in the background.
Yeah, banging away.
Progress is happening right here at the Museum of Aviation. Ken, what are the big events that are coming up that you'd hope people would come down and see? Because I'm just walking around. We've been through just a few of the hangars here. But I know that the events get people down here. Let's look down into the future. What do you have that you're excited about?
We're excited about next year is our 35th year open to the public. So next year we'll be hitting 35 years, so we're trying to figure out what kind of 35-year extravaganza or event we're going to have. So I would say keep your eye open for that because we're going to try to make that a big deal because that's a big benchmark for us hitting 35 years. So I kind of find that hard to believe because I was here when we cut the ribbon the first time around.
You started out back in a little wooden shed.
Well, it was a Quonset hut.
A Quonset hut.
Yeah.
And now here you are.
1984, and here we are nearly 35 years later.
Well, Colonel Emery, thanks for hanging out with us. Anything you want to put in here and remind people
of? Come see us. A lot of people don't know we're down here. We've got four huge exhibit buildings, over 80 airplanes, a lot of them historic, a lot of them inside now. Come see us. There's just a lot to see.
Ken Emery, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Well, my thanks to Ken Emery for coming on tonight. Also, my thanks to Chris Henry for stopping by and talking to us. We'll talk to you next time. Be sure and thank a veteran if you see one. So long for now, everyone.